You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. And Shogger, this definitely seems like a pretty big challenge tonight for a struggling Oilers team who now loses their captain, along with Barry and Ryan, to add to Nugent Hopkins, who's out for, I think you reported, 3 to 4. Now, 3 to 4 weeks from today or 3 to 4 weeks from the time he was hurt?
Well, I just asked on a timeline and was told 3 to 4 weeks. So let's just say, I don't know. Could be, well, because he was hurt a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's from the time he was hurt, maybe it's 4. If it's from today, maybe it's 3. That's why it's 3 to 4 weeks. So I'm not sure. But let's say it's close to a month. So that'll be, I mean, the good thing is they don't got to run through a ton of games between now and then, but not ideal.
No. They don't have to play a lot of games. So I guess that's the one benefit for that. But do you agree that Shore and Seabee are likely the other two centers behind Draisaitl and McLeod?
I mean, you're kind of running out of options, right? Like, you're not going to play Benson there. You're not going to play, Turris. We've talked lots about his struggles. So, I think those are the guys. I mean, they're versatile guys that are supposed to be able to play a different position. So I think that probably makes sense. I just don't see many other options there. So I think that's probably how he goes. Yep.
We've had a lot of people texting. If the Oilers lose tonight, they say, "Hey, could that be it for Dave Tippett?" I'm not so sure. For me, unless I think it all depends on how they lose. If they get absolutely obliterated, more of a chance. If they play really well and hard and lose 3-2 to a team that has more skill in the lineup tonight, probably a different story. Where do you come out?
Yeah, I mean, if they lose this and they limp home, I mean, obviously the road trip's a disaster. No Connor McDavid, no Tyson Barrie against a full Leafs lineup. I mean, the odds are stacked highly against the Oilers. You know, they could be on a 6-game winning streak right now, and you put the rosters on the ice that are going to go on the ice together against one another, and it's definitely a huge tilt Toronto's way. So I don't think that tonight's game is the straw that breaks any camel's backs or anything like that, but I think if they go down in flames and it's a tough, tough, tough one tonight, definitely the heat ratchets up a little bit more. I said before, I don't think that a coaching change is imminent, but if it continues to slide over the next week or two, I think the situation evolves real, real quick. So the heat is cranked up, and it's definitely a relevant, fair conversation in the moment, but given everything they're up against right now, I don't know that losing this game tonight necessarily swings it.
Mike Kelly had a breakdown about the Oilers, and he's looking at their expected goals. They're just not scoring right now. They're actually creating a lot of chances. They're not scoring. Said similar to how Toronto was earlier in the year, and then they figured it out. Do you think that's the case with Edmonton?
I saw his breakdown. I thought it was really good. I think that they weren't as good as we thought they were. Many thought they were earlier on this year. They're probably not as bad as some think they are right now. I think goaltending has been an issue, and it's taken a team that was low on confidence and kind of kicks their feet out from underneath them more often than it should be allowed to, quite frankly. I mean, if your goalie gives up a weak goal early in a game and you're such a fragile team that you think that's going to be curtains for you that you sag, I mean, you're not playing in the right headspace at all. Like, they think they're only going to have to score one goal every night? Like, stuff happens, right? So I think that, there's a fragility to this group right now because they're beaten down, because of these tendencies. And I think that Dave Tippett thinks they're playing a little bit better right now. He says he likes some of what he's seeing. And I guess they hope they're at that stage, Gregs, where you're losing games that you think you probably should win towards the tail end of a rough stretch. But I don't know. I don't think they've played the right way for a lot of this year. I think they've given up too many chances far too often this year, at even strength, odd man rushes. I think they've been a leaky team all year, even through the winning. And I don't think that's supposed to be the hallmark of a Dave Tippett coach team. So I'm not entirely sure what to make of that.
Yeah. It's Well, it's one. Hey, the Oilers have a fair amount of issues right now. I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, and the thing is, as the losses mount, it doesn't matter who the team is, your confidence starts to wane. And I think for Edmonton, a lot of it comes down to the fact that they got to find a way to score first, because I just think that they're fragile to begin right now. You give up the first goal in Toronto, I just think it's lights out if they give up the first goal tonight.
Well, but that's the problem with the team. Like, I mean, just the fact that we're talking about that, like, oh, man. You know, it's so frustrating for this team because their goalie made a mistake and they gave up the first goal of the game. Like, oh, they can't possibly be expected to persevere through that. Like, give me a break. And I get that it's happened a lot, and so it's this here-we-go-again thing, but that doesn't make it okay. It doesn't make it okay to be a team that craters if your goalie gives up. And it's not that they did the other night, but everyone acts like because that happened, well, how could they possibly have expected to persevere through that because it happened again? Like, I mean, they're professionals, right? If you get scored on first, understand that happens in hockey and go get the next one. Do everything you can to get the next one. And it's hard because it's this here-we-go-again thing that keeps happening with them, and you see a sag, and then it's a mistake by Koskinen, and now it's frustration. And, like, I don't know, man. It's not pretty. It's not easy. But, you know, it's not supposed to be. And so there's lots going on with this group right now. I think there's lots going on with this group on the ice, in net, and they're going to have to figure out a way to persevere through it better than they are right now. And that's just the bottom line. They're not doing a good enough job of the things that are put in front of them that are difficult, of working their way through them as a group, all of them. And they got to figure out how to do a better job of that. And that's the coaches coaching them up. That's the players taking care of their details and holding each other accountable. And it certainly is the goaltender in stopping the puck more often. It's on all of them. And that's why, Gregs, when the house is burning as hot as it is right now, pointing a finger so specifically at one guy, I think that was indulging in frustration and pouring gasoline on the fire and not necessary.
Yes, I didn't even think it was that bad. Like, he just said the truth. He goes, yeah, that first goal is terrible. Like,
I know
it was
the truth.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not arguing with Dave Tippett. I agree with what he's saying. But it's about should he be saying it or not. A head coach has a responsibility when the tires are on fire to figure out a way to calm the situation and get things tracked. That's his it's his job to figure out how to fix things. So was it the end of the world that he said it? No, not really. My comment at the time was, I guarantee you that's not helping anything. So then he goes out the next day, and if he thought he was putting it to rest, or he wasn't, because then he piled on even more and talked about the third goal that he didn't like. So now it's 2 days in a row, and then Koskinen responds in the Finnish media and is pissed off. And now the hockey world is talking about Tippett and his goalie and this spat between the two of them. Tippett's getting asked about it. It was just not needed and not necessary. Everything is struggling right now. And I watched his post-game press conference. He was asked if what went wrong was an indication of things, you know, what he's seen recently. His comment was, oh, he came out. We were playing good. Like, we were playing good. Goaltender wasn't very good. He blamed it on the goalie. And then followed up with multiple times calling it a brutal mistake. It's a brutal mistake. We're going good. So, I mean, whether you agree with the term throwing him under the bus or not, that's unusual. He doesn't normally do that. He's never done that to Mike Smith, ever. And I just think he indulged in some anger and frustration in the moment. And fair enough, it's not the end of the world, but it didn't help things. And now you got this spat going with Koskinen that makes the whole thing look ridiculous.
Well, I do want to, I should clarify. Well, there's two things. Number one, when people say he's never done it to Smith, he benched Smith in the playoffs. So we'll get into that in a second. But, Mary Longberg, she's a Swedish reporter. She translated the entire quote of what Koskinen says. So here's the entire thing. This is how it usually goes in this line of business. When the team is doing badly, either the coach or the goalie is sacrificed. It doesn't feel nice to anyone to be thrown under the bus, but I had no big emotions about the things the coach said. One just has to keep going towards the next game. There wasn't any critique early in the season, but now it rains from everywhere because I have lost six games consecutively. People here are passionate, get nervous because everyone follows closely our actions. Each situation and goal is carefully analyzed. This is the way it is here because hockey creates so much emotion and passion in people. I want to also say that in all those six games I lost, our team was able to score seven goals. I'm not able to score, so it's not only up to the goalie. If the team wins or loses, we need to play better as a team. That's his full quote.
Right.
So when you see that full quote, it doesn't seem, he even said, I had really no emotions from what the coach had to say. Right? So I don't, and because I think he knows, like the first 5 minutes, Koskinen was brutal. Right? He took the penalty 15 seconds in when the Oilers are a fragile team.
I'm not arguing that what Tippett said was wrong.
Yeah, but his own goalie's not offended by it. Yeah, but his own goalie, I said, his own goalie in his quote says, I had no real emotions with it. I understand how it is at this time. Emotions running high. He's not offended. It seems like everybody else is. And I believe people are overreacting to a coach saying, yeah, you know what? Hey, goalie wasn't very good. We move on. He also said, hey, the goalie earlier in the year when our D wasn't very good, he saved some games. Both quotes are true.
Yeah, I mean, Mikko Koskinen came out today and said, look, our team has scored seven goals in the six losses or whatever it is, right? So he came out today feeling the need to point out that he can't score goals because he is being blamed for what's been going on and he's been under fire. So that is as a result of Tippett saying what he said post-game the other night. Listen, it's not the end of the world, Jason. I'm not saying that it was this horrendous, egregious error or anything like that. What I'm saying is that as a coach, you have decisions to make and choices about how to handle different situations. And by doing what he did the other night, it created a situation. And it's a situation that I don't think this team necessarily needs right now. And so I think it's probably best when things are going as bad as they are in a number of different areas, you know, not to necessarily point fingers so specifically the way he did and then to follow it up the next day and do it again. And I don't blame Koskinen for feeling like he did want to defend himself, which, even in the longer quote, he's defending himself, right? And I don't blame him for wanting to do that. Now, I wouldn't have mentioned the lack of offense. I think that's not the best thing to be doing when you're not taking care of your own business. But anyways, it's and yes, he, you know, when I talk about Mike Smith, it's different. You make the decisions you got to make as a coach, and you dole out the playing time one way. That's one way you handle your players. But there's another way that you handle your players, and that's how you deal with them, that's how you talk about them, that's how you handle it. You know, if they're not playing great, how you handle it in the media, those are all things that play into the way you treat your players. And his treatment of Koskinen is different than it is of Mike Smith. Not the first coach in history to treat certain players different. It's not some specific thing to Dave Tippett. And yeah, he benched him in the playoffs, sure, but I think that was after going ahead and starting him when he shouldn't have. Didn't we all believe that Koskinen should have been the guy to get the start in that series? And he didn't, went to the other guy, and then it didn't work, right? If I remember correctly.
People say it didn't work. So Smith came in, they lost game one, right? Sure. Then they won game two, where Koskinen gave up three goals. What did Koskinen do in game three? So even if Koskinen would have started game one, what did he do in game three and four that was so great that would have made you believe they would have won game one?
Nothing.
Exactly.
But the decision had to be made heading into that series. Who are you going with? And we all saw on a short notice. You know, I remember talking about it on your show, what we thought that the call was in that moment, but he deferred to his guy, and that's fine. It's what coaches are paid to do, make the call, right? Make the call. He's deferred to Mike Smith a lot. There's been some reward for that because Mike Smith's given them some good games. So you can't tell me you think he treats both guys the same, Greg.
Well, like, of course not, because they're not, because they're not the same.
Right.
Mikko Koskinen, inability to eliminate the low percentage goals is a big issue. It's deflating.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed.
And this on everybody, right? It's grading on
and
everybody.
This year,
coaches, teammates, for sure.
And this, it's actually gotten worse over 3 years. That's the funny part. So it's not something that's improving. So I get why the frustration's there when you're just like, oh my goodness, at some point, hey. And hey, Mike Smith didn't play well against New Jersey. I have no problem saying that. But Mike Smith, in the calendar year of 2021, is not even close to his better. So what happened 2 years ago is really irrelevant to the conversation. Even this year, Mike Smith hasn't played enough. Now, if you want to critique a guy for being injured, sure. But I can see why there's a disparity because one plays way better.
Yeah. Well, and that's
you're not going to play your third line center the same as your second line center if the second line center is playing better.
Well, I'm not just talking about playing time, though. It's not. I'm not talking just about playing time. You know, and for the most part, Tippett is good. Tippett has his players' backs for the most part. And listen, as a reporter, I love a good quote, right? It's great. It's a good quote. But when things are tough and going difficult, it's your job to manage the situation. So you got to decide, okay, where am I going to apply the pressure and where am I going to... There is no player in this market that is more maligned and beaten up than Mikko Koskinen, right? And for good reason. The contract and the performance, for good reason. We know that about Mikko Koskinen, and we know that it has weighed heavy on him, right? This is a fact. We know this about Koskinen, and we have for the last 3 years. He gets more than his share of a beating in this market. So, when you're the head coach of the team, you got a decision to make. How are you handling this player? Mike Smith, for all we know, you know, who knows how many of the next 25 games he's going to play. They might need Mikko Koskinen significantly over the next couple of months. Because Mike Smith, look at the way his year has gone. And so, as the coach, it's your job to figure out how you're managing these situations. And I just think what happened the other night, he was frustrated, he let that frustration get the better of him, and he overdid it a little bit. His criticism of Koskinen was stronger than it probably should have been, given the fact that it's 8 out of 10 for the team, and there's lots going wrong. And I just think that he probably overdid it a little bit in the moment.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. The Oilers got to play better. Costin's not even playing, but we'll see what happens tonight. No McDavid, no Barry, no Nugent Hopkins, no Koskinen, no Derek Ryan. We'll find out against a red-hot Maple Leafs team. Shager, have a good one. Talk to you tomorrow.
Too. Good chat, pal. Thanks.